I'm Selena Sage, and Live Free is for our collective liberation. Namaste and welcome. Today, I'd like to share reflections on being free from thought. And this is a topic I'd like to explore from both a Zen and Advaita lens. And I'll also share a passage from my latest book, Finding Freedom Where You Are. The thing about being free from thought and remaining free from thought is that we're forced to kind of use concepts to explain what is beyond concepts. And really, the greatest encouragement that I can give is to actually experiment, to actually try and play with what the masters are pointing to. So Zen Master Bankei said the unborn Buddha mind is originally free from all thought. So in saying this, Zen Master Bankei is also identifying that this unborn Buddha mind is the same as what is also called awareness, the self, emptiness, and the Tao. All of these are the same thing. It's recognizing that this state, this unborn Buddha mind, our true state, is originally free from all thought. So combining that with a more traditional Advaita Vedanta perspective from Sri Muji, he said the evolution of consciousness is an evolution back toward its source, towards emptiness. It's not about moreness. So in returning to this original state of the unborn Buddha mind toward emptiness, we recognize those are the same thing, first of all, but it's not about moreness. It's not about adding on more concepts and more thoughts. It's actually about remaining as that which is perceiving all of that, all of the thoughts and all of the concepts. It's a return to silence. So it's redirecting the attention. So when the attention is directed outwardly, it's very much all about images, the senses, thought, words, images, sounds. That's the experience of the attention being outwardly focused. But once the attention is returned to its source, all of those things drop away. So all of the thoughts, images, sounds drop away. It's a return to the stillness and silence of emptiness, which is actually the unborn Buddha mind. It is silence and stillness. It is total freedom from thought because the attention is not outwardly focused on any thought. And so finally, Sri Nisargadatta said this beautifully. He said, when the mind feasts, reality disappears. When the mind fasts, reality enters. So he's saying here that when the mind feasts, when the attention is outwardly focused on thought, then reality disappears. So our true reality, our true state as peace, freedom, our true infinite nature disappears. The experience becomes finite because now our attention is being given to finite things. A thought is finite. It begins and ends and moves on. Our true state of awareness, or our unborn Buddha mind, or our state of emptiness, all are the same as when the mind is fasting. And so the reality that we truly are, this peace, enters. And so when the mind fasts, that means that our attention is not in the world of thought. It's back toward its own source, which is emptiness. So the consciousness is attention, right? Our consciousness is directed outwardly into the world of thoughts and images and sounds, and it shifts into this experience of personhood. And so we take ourselves to be a person with an identity and a story. But when that attention, when consciousness returns to its source, which is silence, all of that vanishes. And as Sri Nisargadatta says, that's when reality enters. Our true state of peace, our reality as oneness. There's no sense of division because the attention is now at its source. And when I was reflecting on how I might provide a different sort of analogy in the book, Finding Freedom Where You Are, I used on page 74 the study of deep sleep, dreaming, and waking states to try to better identify what this is all about. So I'll just read that passage and then bring in those other ideas again. So deep sleep is the silent, calm, and peaceful experience that is our true nature as awareness. In the dream state, there is movement in the stillness of awareness. This movement is consciousness, which manifests as a world of images. The nature of consciousness causes us to experience ourselves as separate from the world around us. Though the dream world feels real while we're sleeping, we realize that we were dreaming because we awake with the added senses of the body that tell us we only observed the dream. I'll pause for a little water. Okay. In the waking state, consciousness plus the mind, body, and senses are fully engaged, which creates a much more dynamic experience. The world seems real. However, in the waking state, we are able to consciously let go of all thoughts, feelings, and senses. When we do that, what remains is the silence of our true nature, awareness, that is normally experienced during deep, dreamless sleep. So this is basically attempting to provide a reference point to what this experience of living as awareness, or as, you know, from the state of the unborn Buddha mind is like. And so deep sleep is a representation of being free from thought. We know during deep sleep there are no thoughts because we don't remember anything. We don't remember what that felt like. We just awakened feeling rested, but there's no memory at that time. Consciousness itself was at rest. And it's at rest because it's returned to the source of its own existence, which is this awareness. And so kind of combining that with Sri Muji's teaching, it's like this consciousness has returned toward to its source, and its source is emptiness. And so this emptiness is not about moreness, right? It's the letting go of all that. It's dropping everything, and the emptiness is actually the source from which all of the activity is emanating. But when you return to that emptiness, that is very much like the state of deep sleep, because it is the silent, calm, peaceful experience. And then when we look at the dream state, when the images and words appear, the way that I think about dreaming is like you see everything that's happening. When I'm dreaming, I don't have thoughts about anything. I'm just observing. And there are kind of maybe sometimes felt reactions to what is being observed. So if there's like an image of a cliff, there's a feeling of like a feeling of fear might arise. But there's not like an actual thought that's arising. It's just a reaction and response to the observation. It's like seeing everything from behind or above the eyes of the character in the dream. It's like just seeing it all play out. And that's very much like consciousness, which is the observer. So the observer is just aware of everything that's happening, but there's not this feeling of like active control, of being able to make different decisions. It's just like scenes that are arising and you're just observing them. It's very much like this idea of watching a movie. Things are just happening, but you don't know what's coming next. But in the waking state, we have much more of a feeling of control. And the masters would say, you know, this is an illusion of control, that we feel we have this autonomy to make these choices, because the body, mind, and the senses are all fully engaged, and we have this very dynamic experience. And this is what Sri Nisargadatta is talking about with the mind feasting. It's our attention is completely caught into this world of images. And so true reality, this piece of emptiness, disappears. Our attention is now outwardly focused into the phenomenal world. However, during this waking state, we have the ability to do what he's saying, fasting. We can fast the mind by taking away attention. And so instead of focusing our attention outwardly into the world of name and forms, we direct our attention inwardly to the source of attention itself, which means that the mind thought is not getting the attention. And when that happens, we are free from thought. We have moved toward this emptiness that's not about moreness, but is about complete letting go. And when that happens, we've returned to the unborn Buddha mind, which is free from thought. And the reason why I felt it helpful to use this analogy of deep sleep, dream state, and waking state is that we recognize too that in the dream state, in the deep sleep state, things are still happening. We're still always consciousness. So the body is breathing on its own. All of the functions are continuing. Our experience of life continues, even though consciousness is at rest. So even when consciousness is directed inwardly, the experience still continues. And the opportunity that we have in this waking state is to recognize that we don't need to be in deep sleep to have peace. We can just shift our attention. Instead of having our attention be outwardly focused, we shift our attention inwardly. And when that happens, we have that same experience of the silence, stillness, and peacefulness that happens when we're returning to our unborn Buddha mind, which is originally free from thought. But as soon as the attention is directed outwardly, that means we're entering the finite from the infinite and moving into the limited world of experience. And every experience we know begins and ends. It's not continuous. But peace, the peace of our true unborn Buddha mind, our true nature, is infinite. And we can only know this when we direct our attention inwardly. And this is all just a play of consciousness. Because when attention is directed outwardly, there's this sense of self and other. But when it's directed inwardly, there's no self and there's no other. There's just this oneness. in deep sleep, there's not this feeling of self and other. There's just only silence. So our opportunity to be free from thought is to recognize that when we know our true infinite self, which we can call the self-awareness, the unborn Buddha mind, reality, emptiness, all of these are, again, different words for the same thing. When we recognize this true state, we have a lived experience of peace, and we know that we will just naturally respond to whatever is happening. Our body will continue its function based on its own, some might say, predetermined journey. So our opportunity is to recognize that being free from thought is less about trying to control and more about a simple shift of our attention. And so to close, I'd like to just invite you to experience this real time. So if you're able, you can close your eyes, but it's not necessary. And just recognize in this moment your breath. So you can consciously take a deep breath in through your nose and exhale through your mouth. But the idea here is just to keep your attention on your breathing. So give your attention to that in-breath and that out-breath. And in doing that, hopefully what you are able to recognize is that your attention is shifting from words and thoughts, you know, the world of the mind, and shifting into just that physical experience of the breathing. So your attention is shifting from maybe focusing on words to now just the action of the breathing. And if we're to take that to its ultimate conclusion, to follow what the masters are pointing at in order to have that experience of the fasting of from the mind, returning to this unborn Buddha mind, which is originally free from all thought. It's like Sri Muji said, it's the evolution of consciousness is an evolution back toward its source. So attention is consciousness. And when we direct our attention, our consciousness back to its source, back within, we see that it's a return to emptiness. It's not about collecting anything. It's actually about letting everything go. It's shifting our attention away from all of the thoughts and images and ideas, and even the functions of the body. So it's a step even more than focusing on the breath. Now we're bringing the attention back home to its source. And we recognize that the source is emptiness and it's peace, and it's naturally completely free from all thought. So this experience of the silence, calm, and peace that we can recognize as the experience of deep sleep, it's consciousness at rest. That's really what's happening. So we rest our consciousness even in this waking state by returning it to its source, this emptiness, which is peace. And in this way, we are free. And of course, that is what I always wish for you. And I thank you so much for being here. Namaste.